team from Auditor General, the team from Public Works, the support team from Parliament. Greetings to you all this morning. Firstly, let me apologize that we have to change the time. 9 o'clock is fine when we are talking about a virtual meeting, but when we are doing a physical meeting, 9 o'clock is not convenient as we are using the public transport and there are so many delays on the road. So we sincerely apologize that we had to change the time this morning, not earlier on. Honorable Sihlolo has since joined us. We may then formally start the meeting. We will start, as you know, our agenda. That will start with Auditor General. We do have the information, honorable members, with us. The agenda is also with us. It's Auditor General already there to present. So we are going to give Auditor General. But we have to appreciate the news that we received, all of us, yesterday when the President pronounced, I think we're making history in South Africa, that when the Chief Justice retires in August, we will have, for the very first time in the history of South Africa, even in apartheid government, this never happened, a Chief Justice who will be a female. Justice Mandisa Maya, I am also having a special interest in, she is originally from the Eastern Cape. She may not longer be staying there, but she's original from the Eastern Cape. So as women of South Africa, we are very proud of that, and it shows that how far has our country come in terms of transformation, in terms of recognizing that a woman has a place and a role to play in our country. Not only in the kitchen, as those women of 1956 stood up to say that our role is not only in the kitchen. We have a role to play in politics. We have a role to play in leadership of this country. So we congratulate her, and we hope that she will take the reins as the President has pronounced. No one will object on this pronunciation. So I wanted to start on that note. Malibongwe, Kamala Makosikazi. When we say that, we are not referring to any party. We just praising women in general. Thank you so much. We'll then allow Auditor General to present.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a long time since we had a physical meeting, so it's good to be back in Cape Town. My name is Kunai Meiber. I'm the business unit leader. I know previously we have met, but yes, as I say, physically, it has been a long time. Before I hand over to Londa Loza, who is also well known to the committee, to do the presentation, maybe just a few opening remarks from my side. So I know we came in October to do the BRRR presentation on the outcomes, as well as on the MIs and some messages on what is happening within the sector. And therefore, we do appreciate this opportunity to be with you today to give you an update on the material irregularities of what we usually just refer to briefly in terms of MIs, because I do think it's one of those areas where we all need to play our role. If we look at the accountability ecosystem, we always explain that in the bigger scheme of things, there's the department, there's oversight, there's us, there's the citizens, everybody is playing a role. And this specific area, I think, calls for everybody to be intentional in making sure that those financial losses are stopped, prevented, recovered as far as possible. Where there's harm to the citizens or harm to other public entities to do and execute their mandate, to be vigilant to that and to make sure that it be corrected as quickly as possible. Because at the end of the day, infrastructure is standing in the center of everything. And without infrastructure, there is a negative impact on service delivery. So I'm going to hand over to Londa Loza to take you through the material irregularities. Since we started with this process, we've identified 12 in the public works environment, and out of those 12, 11 is financial losses, and there is one where we've identified and notified in terms of the Telkom building that is not utilized as intended and therefore being underutilized. But I'm not going to go into the detail of those. I'm going to hand over to Londa Loza to take us through the presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honourable Members, and thanks, Corné. Chairperson, my name is Londa Loza Songwevu, and I'm the Senior Manager responsible for the Public Works Portfolio, and I would have presented to this Honourable Committee during that BRRR that Corné spoke about. And by the way, I'm also from the Eastern Cape, Chairperson, but let me... We are celebrating the Eastern Cape. and I think Corné has set the tone for today, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, that our focus is mainly on the material irregularities that have been raised in the space of public works, both at national and provincial. And as usual, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, we begin with our reputation promise, which really just seeks to underline the reason for our existence as the Office of the Auditor General. And it says that through our audit work, we become enablers of oversight, accountability, which I've highlighted there, as well as governance in the public sector. And this is a mandate that is given to us by the Constitution of the Republic. And coupled with that, Honourable Members, is our vision where we seek to be recognised as a relevant Supreme Audit institution by all of our stakeholders, an institution that enhances this public sector accountability. And you will note that in this slide we do highlight specifically the issue of accountability. And the reason for that, Honourable Members, is that in our last appearance before the committee, we would have explained and touched on this accountability ecosystem. And in essence, this is a tool that has been developed in order to implement and enhance this accountability that features prominently in our mission and vision. And it maybe by way of recap, Honourable Chairperson, the ecosystem before the members is divided and split into two sections. On the one hand is the key role players that are responsible for decision making when it comes to what service delivery needs to be delivered to the citizens. And on the other hand is the key role players that then provide support and oversight over those decision makers that are responsible for the day-to-day decision making in relation to service delivery. And the MI process is a function of this ecosystem, and it finds expression on the side of the key role players that are decision makers. And it kicks in, Honourable Members, in instances where as the Office of the Auditor General, we would have performed our audit work, identified weaknesses in a particular environment. We would have then shared those insights with the key role players that are decision makers in an effort to try and influence them to improve those particular environment. And where we see that there is no traction, there's no movement, there's no improvement in those weaknesses that we would have identified, we would then activate the MI process in an effort to enforce these role players, the key role players that are decision makers, to enforce them to do better and improve those environments that we would have identified. So that is where this MI process that we are about today fits into this ecosystem. Maybe before we then get into the picture of public works and how the MI process looks like in that space. I thought perhaps let's recap in terms of the actual MI process that we have to go through in order for us to raise the finding and all the way to resolving it. The one area that takes up a lot of time is identifying that a material irregularity actually exists. And that is informed by the actual definition itself. So we are auditors, Honorable Chairperson, but this is largely a legal process. So my team and I at some point will have to take off our auditor's hat and try and become legal people so that we ensure that we get this definition right and correct so that we are able to come up with a material irregularity that can stand on its own. So from our side, the main area that takes up a lot of our time is proving that this definition has been met for a material irregularity to be raised. The definition itself contains a number of possibilities. At public works, the material irregularity is the 12th that, at least at national, the 12th that Corneille mentioned. They have resulted in a material financial loss, and one has been a misuse of a material public good. So we haven't been able to identify other sections within the definition that could also result in a material irregularity, but there are other areas that through the work that we do, we might pick up material irregularities if the environment is not improved. And once we have notified the accounting officer as well as the accounting authority in public entities, we will then provide them an opportunity to respond to this a material irregularity that would have been raised. And upon receiving the response and what will be done in order to improve the environment, we'll then make an assessment, and two decisions, or either one of the two decisions, can be taken from our side. So one of them is if we are satisfied that based on the accounting officer's response, appropriate actions are taken, we will then resolve the MI. And in instances where, based on the submission and our assessment, we conclude that appropriate actions are not being taken, then there's a number of possibilities that can emanate from that. One, we can refer the MI to a public body that has got powers to investigate, or we can develop the recommendations which we include in the audit report itself and allow the accounting officer or accounting authority to implement those recommendations in order to improve the environment. Or three, we can develop remedial actions that are binding. So in that instance, then the accounting officer will have no choice but to implement those remedial actions. And when all of that is still not working, then we get to the certificate of debt. But in certain instances, you could have a combination of any of the potential outcomes in instances where we conclude that the accounting officer is not taking appropriate actions. Coming to public works specifically, honorable members, this is a snapshot of the 12 MIs that we have raised since the MI process began in 2018, April 2018 to be specific. So over that period, we've had 10 that relate to procurement or payment, and that result in financial losses. We've had one instance within the portfolio where payments to SARS were late, and as a result, the entity incurred interest and penalties. And then the most recent one is the misuse of a material public resource, but I'll come to that. Now, if you then apply the picture that I, or at least the process that I described in the previous slide, into where these 12 MIs fit in. Maybe you can go back, younger. So out of the 12 honorable chairperson and members, would say 9 fall into the category where appropriate action are being taken. And within the 9 where appropriate action are being taken, we have managed to resolve 4 of them. So 4 will fall under the resolution of an MI section or portion of this diagram here. However, there's 9 that are still sitting under the, I mean, sorry, not 9, 4, 5 that are sitting under the appropriate action being taken. But we haven't come to a conclusion as yet in terms of resolving them. But we are in the process of assessing whether they can be resolved or not. And then we've got 2 where we've concluded, honorable chairperson and members, that appropriate actions are not being taken. And in both those instances, we developed the recommendations and we've included those recommendations in the audit report in relation to the entities that are responsible for those MIs. The impact that we would have seen in, over this period that I've referred to from April 2018, so just to recap, honorable members, so you said 11 of the MIs, 11 of them relate to financial losses. What we've managed to cause correct during the MI process, we've seen instances where 20 million of the financial loss that we've reported has been recovered. 17 million is the entities have managed to prevent further losses as a result of the MI that was raised. And then about 16 million, which is 15.9, there is a process underway to recover those losses. So with that impact, it's just to illustrate, honorable chairperson, that when we enforce or when we activate the MI process in order to enforce the improvement of the control environment, we do see that losses do get recovered as a result of the MIs that we raise. And then if we then go into the specific MIs and the status update, honorable chairperson, the first one is a new MI that we would have raised post our last appearance. And it is the only one that is not as a result of a financial loss. So this relates to Telkom Towers, which were purchased from Telkom back in 2016. And we're saying 7 years, I think in April, so in 2 months' time, it will actually be 8 years, where only one building out of the 9 that came as part of the complex is being occupied and used by SAPS for the intended purpose. And the reason why we've moved away from a financial loss, even though there were losses that were expended in procuring and maintaining this building, we are saying in essence, over and above those losses, service delivery is impacted in the sense that SAPS is unable to conduct their business as they would have envisaged when the move was first, first came about. So those processes that SAPS is supposed to be conducting in terms of moving into that complex are being impacted by the fact that this building is not in a condition to be used by SAPS for the intended purposes. Chairperson and honorable members, we would have first raised this MI in towards the end of last year, October or November, if I'm not mistaken. But to give the new DG an opportunity to also familiarize himself with this process, because he then becomes responsible for giving us the response and what will be done in order to speed up this process. We then had to reissue it in January, and then he responded on the 16th of Feb, but we are still in the process of assessing whether the actions that are being proposed by the DG will be adequate for us to say appropriate actions will be taken in order to address this MI or not. And then from here on, honorable members, it's the 11 MIs that we would have reported during our last appearance as well. The first one is on the Welisizwe Bridge project. So back then, we would have said there was an amount of the 2 million which had been deducted from the service provider. So in essence, that amount of the financial loss had been recovered. However, over and above the financial loss, we still see instances where the identification of the responsible officials has not been finalized. And one of the actions that the management had said they will take is the development of the standard operating procedures. That is also still in progress, honorable members. And so we are making those additional follow-ups in the current audit cycle as well. And the following one is the lease. So this is the most recent lease. So there's three lease MIs that we would have raised. However, we are seeing a situation where this repeats. This is because the leases are as a result of overpayments. So we've now taken a decision to have a different approach in terms of how we raise the lease MIs going forward, because we are still seeing the repetition. However, management does respond to a specific lease MI whenever we raise them. So we want to take an approach that will be holistic and not only focus on a particular lease, because the overpayments are not happening on a few leases. It's a number of leases where we've identified these overpayments. So the environment is still a concern from our side, the lease environment. So even though the MIs would have raised, and the three of them, the actual environment itself, we are not seeing it improving in ensuring that the overpayments are prevented. So our approach is therefore to see if we cannot come up with something that will be preventing the overpayments as opposed to reacting to them. So the lease environment and MIs in terms of actions being taken are still a concern. And then the other one, honorable members, is the Mamelodi Magistrate Court. We haven't seen any movement here since our last appearance, because even back then, the issue of recovering the overpayment or the material loss, it was something that we reported on, as well as the disciplinary processes being taken on against the officials that are responsible. As at Feb, the 23rd of Feb, or at least the 1st of Feb 2024, we have not seen much improvement in terms of the plans that were there in our previous BRRR presentation. And lastly, on the ones where we've said management or the accounting officer is taking appropriate action, again relates to the leases. So this is the third lease. However, our assessment, as I mentioned earlier, honorable members, is that the lease environment still needs to be worked on in order to improve the actual control to prevent overpayments. I had mentioned earlier that there's two where we would have concluded that the actions that were being taken by the accounting office and the accounting authority were not appropriate, and we then concluded that we will develop the recommendations. When it comes to Leocop, in terms of the implementation of those recommendations, again, this is an MI where we would have concluded that perhaps let's develop remedial actions. However, the AG then approved that we give the minister, as well as the new accounting officer, an opportunity to also reflect on this particular MI and come up with appropriate actions, or at least new proposed actions. So that process has happened. We did request the minister directly, as well as the accounting officer, to then respond to this particular MI that relates to the Leopold prison. We did receive the responses on the 15th of Feb, and there hasn't been much time for us to then assess whether the new proposed actions are appropriate or not. So on this one, we will still make that assessment. And the second one was around the VAT payments at IDT. So the initial actions that were proposed by the accounting authority, we deemed them not to be appropriate. However, in the last audit report, we did include the recommendations. Management did respond, or the accounting authority did respond with the new actions that are taken in relation to our recommendations. So we are now in the process of assessing whether the actions that are being taken are in line with the recommendations that we would have included in the audit report, for us to then conclude on the way forward on how this MI is then addressed. And then the last slide on the 12 MIs is the four that have been resolved, and two relate to bait breach, and the other two is the state funerals as well as the state events. So these we were satisfied that the actions that are being taken are appropriate. However, we do continue to track if there are any reversals in terms of the improved controls for us. The ones that led to us concluding that we can resolve these four MIs. But as of today, honourable members, we are comfortable that these four MIs have been sufficiently resolved in terms of the responses by the accounting officers, and as well as the improvement in the control environment. Maybe if we then also look at the sector by looking at the provinces as well, because the provinces are also scoped in terms of the material irregularity process. So far we've got 15 from the 9 provinces. The provinces that do not have are the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, as well as the Free State. Otherwise, the rest of the provinces then share the 15 MIs that have been raised so far. Responses have been received for all 14. Two, we have resolved that the appropriate actions are taken and the MIs have been resolved. 7 out of the 15 appropriate actions are being taken and are likely to also be resolved, but that process is still ongoing. 4 of them, the actions taken were deemed not to be appropriate. And then 2 out of the four, two responses that have been received from accounting officer are still under assessment. So this is the picture in terms of the provinces, honourable members. As I mentioned, they are fairly scattered across, maybe with Gauteng contributing 5 out of the 15 MIs. Based on that, we then summarized our overall observations as well as recommendations in terms of the the MI process and what we've seen within the space of public works. I think the one message, honourable members, is that it takes long. At least even from our side, it takes long to finalise the MIs, and that is something that from our side we are specifically responding to. Mm. However, one of the areas that contribute to that is that we are seeing that it takes long for management to respond when we request for information in relation to how the MIs are being dealt with, as well as the actions that are being taken going forward. And also, it also takes long for management to respond and also give how the matters will be resolved. And in instances where we would have received, the actions that are taken, we are also seeing that it takes a lot of time or a long time for those issues to be implemented. So an example would be around the actions that are taken against officials. So we would assess that that is an appropriate action to take. However, we're seeing that it takes long to implement and discipline officials. So that is one thing that we are recommending to this honorable committee as an oversight key stakeholder in terms of the accountability ecosystem. We are requesting and recommending that the portfolio committee at least assist management in ensuring that, one, the controls and the actions are on time, and where management has indicated actions to be taken, those actions are taken speedily. We are also seeing an increase in a number of material irregularities that we are raising, as well as repeat. So as an example that I mentioned earlier, when it comes to leases, we are seeing that we raise similar things on a similar area, and it's repetitive. So as the portfolio committee, we are also recommending that this is looked into, and maybe management is assisted by the portfolio committee in ensuring that we don't see repeat material findings on similar issues. And maybe from a follow-up on previous commitments, Honourable Chairperson, we did note that in our last appearance, the committee had mentioned that they would also visit the Welisizwe bridges. Maybe if there is any observations to share in order to compare with what we would have raised and what we are following up in terms of the actions that are being taken there. And also, I think a follow-up commitment was that transactions that relate to overpayment of leases will be referred to the SIU, and maybe just to get an indication if that has taken place, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. And that is where I'd like to stop at this point, Honourable Chairperson, through you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lord. Any additions, AG Tim?
None.
Thank you. Let me welcome the CCW team, though I believe they arrived late in the meeting. At no stage we said you must come at a certain time. We said the meeting is starting at 9, and we agreed that because of transport, the honorable members won't make 9, we set up at 9, and then you are coming at this time.
It's good that the GM was here earlier on. We would have thought that you have decided to abandon the meeting. Thank you, honorable members. This is the presentation by AG to us, and I believe most of the issues that are being raised here are not new issues. We have raised them in several meetings with the department. AG also has raised these issues at that point that you're learning in, saying that there is a repeat of some of these issues. The issue of the leases and all that is something that this portfolio committee has been saying it all over again. But I now invite honorable members to deliberate on this report from AG. Honorable Sisa, honorable Alexander, honorable Jobo, honorable Fascalvi, in that order.
Greetings to everyone. Today, let's welcome the updated report that we got from the AG's office. We can see that they are trying their utmost best to assist this committee to get light of things that are happening within the DPWI. I don't know to whom am I going to refer a question, but the DM is here and her team is here. The issue of Welisizwe, the issue of still trying to identify the responsible officials for what happened with the Welisizwe bridge, the material and the transport and everything. And we are talking about the project that was a report that we received in 2022. I went to some of these bridges. The money that is there and the bridge itself, some of these bridges are not even safe for crossing. They are not. One of them that I saw, it's not accessible for people with wheelchairs. Those are some of the bridges that I've seen on my own. But I want to know who's responsible. Is there a team that is actually dedicated to deal with identifying who are the responsible officials? Because we can't be sitting in 2024 and we still don't know who's responsible for that. The Mamelodi Court issue, disciplinary is ongoing. I don't know, does ongoing mean the disciplinary is sitting or is still a process of the disciplinary to sit, or because ongoing, our understanding of ongoing is like this thing is still in a process. Maybe I don't understand the English. So if we can get also, if I can get the clarity on the ongoing pertaining the Mamelodi Court issue, that the disciplinary is ongoing. Are the disciplinary sitting, or is there still, are there legal issues? Because we know when it comes to disciplinary and our previous experience, there will be some sort of delays for disciplinary to sit. So if we can get a clarity as to what does ongoing mean when it comes to these disciplinaries, I'll stop there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is probably more for the department than it is for Audit General, but we're getting a theme of leases coming through as audit findings, there are many instances where the leases are being very problematic with regards to service delivery. I'm going to give you two examples. The police station in Heidelberg, Lesedi, the policemen have to use their cell phones because a contract has not been signed for a high mast between the SAPS and the lo- local municipality at a nominal fee. This is ongoing 2 years. Our law enforcement is driving around making phone calls with their private cell phones because the lease isn't in place. The second one is Diepsloot Police Station has a beautiful state-of-the-art small claims court, newly built, beautifully refurbished, not operational because their lease is not in place between SAPS, Department of Justice, and who else, and I believe it's an issue about who's going to pay the electricity. But in the meantime, the community has no access to law, to the legal system, which is beautifully placed for them and convenient. Those are just two examples, and I'm sure there are hundreds and thousands, but there's definitely an issue with the leasing and how we manage leases so that we don't have nominal lease fees preventing crime prevention. So what are the action steps in place to mitigate this going forward? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Chairperson, DM members, audit, the general team, as well as the departmental officials. I want to welcome the presentation. I think it's been long that we've come. It's our final engagement with the Auditor General in this term, and I think I'm at a good place because a lot of issues that we've been hammering on for the past 5 years, finally this report we are receiving. Indeed, there's still room for improvement, but I think the mere fact that we are receiving positive outcome and feedback and statuses like disciplinary actions being taken, SIU is busy, and some of the processes has been finalized and things, it's a step in the right direction. I really need to commend the department as well as the Auditor General for that. And also, I think many of the concerns were raised over the past number of years by this portfolio committee during our annual engagement, during our quarterly reviews, and we are seeing the fruit, especially when we look at the most contentious issues within this term were, I think, one of the most ones were the Bay Bridge problem. And then it was the funerals, state funerals and state events, which were in the public domain. And there's a lot of scrutinization, there's a lot of bad-mouthing government, bad-mouthing the department in the public domain, and also it negatively affected the portfolio committee because it seemed as if we are not performing our oversight role effectively, whereas in the background we've been complaining about all these issues, being very loud in terms of that. So one wise person once said, when you have loud disrespect, it's good to see the apology also loud, but it's not, we don't find it in the public domain to say that indeed there has been actions taken in terms of these issues that's been in the public domain. So I think maybe there's where the department DM must come in to show that indeed within all those issues that has been raised in the public domain, this is the action that has been taken in conjunction with the relevant stakeholders. So to inform our public also out there that indeed action has been taken. But I'm just concerned a little bit when we see that disciplinary actions were taken, maybe in a more detailed explanation to the portfolio committee. We need to see what kind of disciplinary actions has been taken. We see the SIU's in the process of recovering financial losses.
but it's cases that has been notified in 2020 and we are sitting in 2024. How far is that process? We don't want to see ongoing without tracking exactly where that are in practice. Also, Honorable Chairperson, through you, it's good to see the recovering of large sums of money in various instances, because it shows that really we mean business in terms of addressing wrongdoings, but it's not assisting the Department of Government if we are just taking disciplinary actions and we are not recovering all those monies. We have the issue in terms of leases. That's also an ongoing concern. And indeed, there's recovering of money that's taken place. But we know that AG also raised the concerns, and it's the same sentiment that's been shared by this portfolio committee in terms of proper consequence management being in place. Because we need to see that the department is proactive in terms of instituting proper consequence management. And then there's this issue that unfortunately we will exit with in terms of the Telkom towers. And I don't know, Chairperson, we've had several oversights, several engagements, several recommendations over this past 100, it felt like 100 years that we are in office dealing with this contentious issue. And we are, the department, the government is bleeding money. It's not an investment that's reaping the expected returns. So really the department needs to move on that issue with regards to the Telkom towers. Then lastly, Chairperson, maybe the question needs to be directed to the AG's office. We know about the Public Audit Act and the extra powers that has been conferred to the AG's office in terms of identifying material irregularities and ultimately hold accounting officers personally liable for them if no action is taken to remedy them, especially when looking at issues that's been dragging for such a long time. Did you consider invoking at any stage this act to show the power that you are having in the interest of our people and good governance at large? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Slavik. Honorable Sikhala.
Chairperson, good morning, and good morning to the team at the AG. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Most of my questions, Chairperson, and follow-ups are reserved for the department, but I just have two questions from our last meeting on the 10th of October last year. That relates to the PMTE's financial statements on the parliamentary villages that have not been submitted to the AG since 2014. What is the status in as far as that is concerned? And then you would recall then on slide 12 of the meeting of last year, there was an indication that in terms of the IDT and PTME, there were concerns over material uncertainties around their financial status. If I could just get a sense of whether that has been resolved, whether you are now satisfied with those entities' financial status at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for the comments that you have raised. Let me add my voice in appreciating this presentation that has been done to us by Auditor General, and also the information that we have received on how far have they gone with some of the issues that they have identified and informed the department. We will deal
some of them when we are left with the department. And I'm happy that it is here. It is also going to assist us even in the next meeting because we will talk to them directly. But the reality is that some of the issues that you are raising, as my colleagues have said, so are issues that we have raised several times with the department. The issue of the lease, we even picked that one up and discussed with the department several times on the issue of how they're conducting these leases, because we could see that there is really something funny, and we even recommended that investigation should be done. But you are still saying today it is clear that some of these things are recurring. In fact, as much as we have recovered some money, but some are still continuing. Which means then, DM, you being here as part of the executive of the department, it means as much as you conducting an investigation, taking disciplinary actions, there is still something that is not being done. There is still something that is not being done. It can be that in the department, disciplinary actions have been taken against some officials, and then there are other officials doing the same thing. Maybe it's part of the cash cow of some of these officials, this issue of the leases, really something has to be done. You can't be a department that is doing this. But I don't have much in terms of questions. It's just that we appreciate this. We always take whatever that you bring to us seriously. So when we deal with the department, we will be dealing with it today and even in the next few days. These issues will raise them. But there is something that I felt that it really needed to be picked up on these issues that you were raising. Oh, okay. The issue of telecom towers. That one is a really sad story because as this sixth administration, as this portfolio committee, we're going to leave that one in that state. Having gone there several times on the oversight visit, our first oversight visit in August 2019 was to Telkom Towers. We've gone there, we've talked in a portfolio committee meeting, raising these issues that serious resources that should have been used in other projects are being wasted. But even today, we're still sitting with Telkom Towers as it was in 2019. That one is really something. But what we can also assure you is that as the portfolio committee, we are having a legacy report. The issue of Telkom Towers is there. So also these recommendations that you are raising, when we adopt it on the 27th of March, I think we will add some issues on the issue of Telkom Towers. That one will go down. That also as this portfolio committee, we saw what you saw there, and really state resources are being wasted on that one. That project should have taken at the most 4 years, but we are in the seventh year, and you can see that it is not even there is not even a willingness to complete that one. It's just we went there, if I can tell you, AG, we went there, we sat with the department, in fact, both departments, SAPS and TWI, they gave us glowing reports. We went there. First thing that happened is that the officials ran away. When we went there as the members, we were alone. acting DJ at the time came in, but very few officials, both from SAP and DPWI. You could see really there's something wrong. We were not allowed even to go to the offices that they were saying they were working. We wanted to see them. They really ran away. So such a sad story. But the report was so glowing. We were sure that everything is good and fine. But when we went there physically, it was something else. So on that one, the issue of telecom towers, I think if in a report you can write in block letters, that one will write in block letters, the issue of telecom towers. Thank you. Most were comments, but over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I would like to respond to the question that asked whether we've invoked our powers as it has been enhanced in the Public Audit Act. And the response is most definitely yes, we have invoked those powers. It's because of those powers that we are sitting here with the 12 material irregularities that we have been identified. As Wondolova said, it is a slow process where we look at granting opportunity to the accounting officer to implement corrective actions. Our main objective is a change in the culture of the leadership whereby financial losses is being prevented, where we've identified it, there is investigation, the necessary consequence management, and then also then the recovery of losses where it was raised. Out of the 12, we did mention, so the law also went through to explain the process whereby we notify, we give opportunity for a response, we will assess, and when the response is appropriate, there is some time for those responses to be implemented, which we then will continue to assess. Out of the 12, there is two that we've then said the steps that has been implemented was not sufficient and not appropriate, and appropriate action was not implemented. And those two were then referred for further action. So the first step was to include recommendations in the audit report, which was done. Then on the one we said that the recommendations, we've now received the responses, and our material irregularity unit is currently assessing that response. And then there was the one on LEOCOP where we've included recommendations, the actions weren't appropriate, and now it's in the phase of considering whether remedial action is required. Because of the change in accounting officer, the new minister that came in, we felt it appropriate before we go into remedial action to give them opportunity to look at the previous recommendations and to then respond, which we've now received last week, the responses from the newly appointed accounting officer and the minister. So we're assessing that. Depending on the outcome there, it might or might not go into remedial action. But most definitely we have invoked it, and I think from our side it was also a learning curve, but where we are currently is to say, we focus on high impact material irregularities. I mean, if we look at the leases, we could have issued a number. We've issued three and then we said, let's hang on. Are we achieving the impact that we expect to achieve? And the answer was then, no, we need to look at something different when it comes to leases because we want to see the control environment changing in that environment. So that is what we want to see. And as I say, the focus is on high impact, so that the culture of leadership can change, rather than to have a big number of material irregularities, but we don't see the impact. I will ask Mondolova if you can respond to some of the others. I do think majority of the comments was more directed to the department, but they were too so specific in terms of the previous presentation. Thanks, Mondolova.
Thank you, Honourable Members, and Cornet on the PAA question. Maybe on the disciplinary steps that are being taken, based on the information that we have, the sittings have not taken place as yet. So it's these processes that have to, you know, been taken before the sitting takes place, like your investigations and all of that, and bringing in the charges. So those processes are the ones that we refer to when we say the disciplinary actions is an ongoing process. So the issue on leases, we take the examples that were used, the Heidelberg police station as well as the Diepsloot police station. We'll certainly include that as part of our processes for assessment. So that one is that, and then room for improvement in the right direction. I think that was a comment that you know, there is room for improvement, but we are seeing improvement as a result of this MI process, as I described, as well as the comment on the four MIs that were resolved. So we do you know, indicate and mention that MIs can be resolved in instances where the environment itself improves. I think there was a question on what kind of disciplinary actions have been taken. I think at this point, because you know those processes have not been finalized, it becomes a challenge for us to comment in terms of the actual disciplinary actions that have been taken, because the process in itself is still you know, at a planning and an investigation phases. But perhaps management can sort of provide more details in terms of that. And also the issue around SIU and recoveries. So if you go, maybe Yanga, you can help us with the slide. We had a snapshot of. So those recoveries. So you'll note that there's 19.1 million which has been recovered. So SIU has also been involved in those recoveries. And the process then of 15.9 million SIU, I think that's a process where SIU is also involved, and we do anticipate that the recoveries will take place there as well, because we have seen that in instances where financial losses have to be recovered, there is empirical evidence that it is happening, more so around the leases. And then Telkom Towers, I know that in the main is comments and reflections in terms of what the portfolio committee has done and the frustrations. Maybe if you go to the slide, the next slide, no, the slide with the process, MI process. I saw the DG is here, because we would have notified him of this MI. We implore the DG to take the appropriate action in relation to this, in order to avoid a situation where we have to invoke our powers. As Honorable Van Gundy mentioned, that you know, have we invoked our powers? So I think with the office of the AG, there is this option where if action is not taken, or at least it's not appropriate, DG, then we've got you know, those options where we can then assist the accounting officer to take the necessary actions in order to address this matter that has frustrated the portfolio committee for them since 2019. I think you said, Honorable Chairperson. And the question on the parliamentary village financial statement, Honorable Member, I'll respond cautiously in the sense that financial statements are meant to be submitted at the end of May, but we have not received financial statements for the previous years that we would have reported on. Then maybe perhaps it's something that we just need to flag to say to management and the accounting officer that this is something that we have reported on over the years, and if there's any progress in ensuring that financial statements are drafted and submitted to us for audit going forward. And then the issue of IDT and PMTE material uncertainties. Again, it's an issue where, you know, we'll have to assess that during the audit of the 2023-24 financial statements, honorable member. So as of now, we will not be in a position to confirm whether, you know, there has been improvement in the financial or going concern uncertainties around those two entities. And I think, honorable chairman, those are the questions that I would have noted. I don't know if maybe we would have missed any through you, chairman.
No. You have not missed any. Mostly were comments as members were raising those issues. On that note, okay, I would really appreciate the time that you have spent with us today. We taking everything that you are saying to us as this portfolio committee very serious, and some of the recommendations that you have raised on these issues, as I indicated earlier on, they will form part of our legacy report for the 7th administration and the portfolio committee that will be coming in the 7th administration. So thank you again. You may be excused now, but AG, let's take like 5 minutes stretch break to allow AG and to also allow members of the staff that are sitting there. There are seats here.
Like a politician.
Also on the procurement, I will just lift Archibus and Sage software. Because when we came in as this portfolio committee, we had a legacy report from the FIT administration that was talking about this software, indicating that this process started in 2015, and we understand as the portfolio committee that even now it has not yet been finalized. But what is clear and glaring is the escalating costs that are being done by the department on service provider after service provider. It is crucial for each department to, I mean, this date and age, to have a software that is functioning, that is reliable, that is not prone to hacking, that is not prone to being corrupted. So we are asking you today, because whatever you say and whatever that we discuss in this meeting, it's going to the legacy report. We have already have information there. But because this is our last meeting on this matter, so whatever that you say will go to that legacy report, and also our recommendations as such. But before we go there, we didn't deal with the apologies. Ms. Nola, can you just indicate the apologies that we have received for this meeting? I will now then invite DM to introduce the matter before the team come in. DM, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning to all Honorable Members. Chairperson, before I introduce today's matter, I would like to please kindly request yourself, Chairperson, and the honorable members of this committee to please allow me to apologize on the incident that took place yesterday in the committee, because as the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, we are the parent to the entities of DPWI. And also to inform this honorable members through you, Chair, that us as DPWI were not aware of an apology that was going to be sent to the committee yesterday by ICSA, where the chairperson and the CEO were supposed to appear in front of this committee, and at the last minute snubbed and gave an apology of not attending the portfolio committee at the last minute. So as the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, as the executive, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, would like to profusely apologize, because we understand that when the portfolio committee requests you to appear in front of them so that they exercise their oversight work, the governance thereof should be done in an appropriate manner. And when I saw the statement yesterday, I must really say that we are really embarrassed, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, on the incident that took place yesterday. And that us as the department, through the DG and our IGR branch, have started a process that we are going to implement, because it is really unacceptable on what happened yesterday. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for inviting us on a very important matter, which is the ICT and what you have singled out in terms of the Archibald system and the SAGE system. And indeed, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, this matter since 2015 to date has been a whirlwind, and we are also taking heed and call from our last meeting last year around ICT and what the Honorable Members and this committee have raised. And I think that in that meeting, Honorable Chairperson, I also raised what the Minister and I have been raising ever since we arrived at this department, that we can have all strategies and everything good on how we will turn around the department and how we will respond to the AG's red flags and comments, but without a proper ICT system that is functional, that is integrated, and that is holistic, indeed we will be going around in circles and not be able to achieve what we are supposed to achieve. So we welcome that you have called us again, Honorable Chairperson, and that we will then listen to the Honorable Members' comments and guidance as always. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, GM. I've been used to this department on acting duties. I want to say acting duties. Okay. Didi, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. It's nice to meet with you for the first time. My name is Sitom Tagane. I'm the new DG of Public Works, not acting, like the chair was asking. Thank you very much. Thank you. Chair, we've got the entire team with us, the whole executive of Public Works, where we want to take you through the process in terms of the questions that were raised by this committee in respect of the ICT environment, particularly the ERP that we have called Archibus, and also the issues on procurement expenditure across since it started. And we will request, Chair, that our ICT leader head, Mr. Mehdi, takes the committee through, and then we will then be able then to take any comments afterwards. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Mehdi, through you, Chair.
Thank you, DG, and good morning, Honorable Chair and Committee Members and DM and all protocol observed. I will start the presentation. In terms of the presentation, I will take you through the purpose of the presentation and also the strategy as the DG highlighted, in terms of how then have we moved in terms of operationalizing the ERP systems in the department, and what procurements have we done, how much have we spent, and also we'll touch on the risks and also the way forward in terms of the planned actions. In terms of the purpose, we would like to just bring forward the ERP program objectives, and also, as I have touched, to say we'll look at all procurement done to date, and also the expenditure, and also the implementation processes that we have taken on, and then the status and the next actions. In terms of the PMTE strategy in 2011, which also informed the ERP implementation strategy, where the department approached National Treasury for permission to implement an ERP strategy. And the objective was to move from government transversal systems to GRAP compliant systems. You will know with the other departments, they use modified cash principles, but then within the entity itself, they have adopted the GRAP compliant or reporting principles. The plan was to procure an off-the-shelf solution in order to digitize the PMTE core business functions, which is our immovable asset register functions, the real estate, the facility management, the capital project management, and also finance. I think DGI omitted SCM. There's also SCM processes also that we needed to digitize. And National Treasury then granted the permission to procure a billing and accounting system. Then the journey started in 2011, as I have mentioned. In 2012, also there were systems in the department that were in the process of being implemented, but also the department looked at to assess, to say what will be the best at that time in 2012 in terms of the ERP solution while the permission has been granted. And also then it was through the Accenture, there was an assessment that was done, and it indicated which systems are there in the market and which ones can the department embark on. And then in 2013, the department went out on an open tender to procure this billing and accounting solution with capabilities to integrate. And Deloitte was appointed as a Sage service provider and recommended Akibas for the immovable asset register from 2013 to May 2016. And in 2014, as part of the implementation of that contract, the SAGE system went live with the billing and accounting modules, which I will unpack in the following slides. And in 2015, then the department opted to increase the SAGE scope to include the lease-in and the lease-out and variable payments modules, which were not part of the contract of the initial delayed contract. And also a feasibility study was conducted which confirmed that Akibas is a match for the PMTE requirements, and this decision was then based on that Akibas as part of the Deloitte contract, the software Akibas came part as part of the Deloitte contract, which will house the immovable asset register, so it was part of that open tender. And then a decision as part of the turnaround program then to implement and expand on this Akibas services were done through a service provider called LDM and were solved through KZN contract at the time where it was acquired through National Treasury. So the contract with LDM then expired in 2017. I'll unpack the scope of what was contracted with LDM and what we have spent in terms of that contract. And during the Deloitte contract also, because of the expanded scope, Deloitte also couldn't conclude on the lease-in module and the lease-out module and the variable payments module that were part of the expanded scope. And then they were released to say they must conclude on the contracted work that was part of the bid. And then in February 2018, another service provider was appointed then through an open tender, which the contract ran from 2017 to 2020. And due to now Deloitte contract coming to an end, then it meant that the department must appoint a new service provider for the maintenance and support of the SAGE system that has been implemented and went live in 2014. In operationalizing this ERP strategy and systems, which are core, which is SAGE and Akibas system, in 2015, EXCO took a decision as part of the turnaround, and as I've mentioned, that to expand on the scope. And core business stakeholders participated in a functional analysis that was done in-house as part of the department to assess all the modules in terms of compliance, whether they will be able to implement and meet the requirements, and most of them they scored 70% except SCM module. The 70% was in terms of whether we implement the solution as it comes from off the shelf or if we need to do customization. So most of the areas or the stakeholders and branches business requirements were then assessed, and they scored 70% on the on the fulfillment of those requirements. And further then, the decision to opt for Archibus was supported by that Accenture assessment that I mentioned, and also the Gartner as a technical advisory service at the time indicated that Archibus was the leading solution and Sage at the time. Just on a high level, just to cover the objectives or the products that would have drive the digitization of the PMTE core processes, from an Archibus solution perspective, the department wanted to have an end-to-end in terms of managing the immovable asset register or asset management, and then also look manage a movable asset register, the list in, the list out, the FM unscheduled maintenance capabilities, and the facility management scheduled maintenance capabilities, condition assessment of the properties and facilities that we have, and also capital projects in terms of managing the capital projects and also any other projects in the department. And from a financial perspective or area and branch, the SAGE solution then, it was that it should have the modules for variable payments, accounts payable, accounts receivable, budgeting, bank reconciliation, and procurement module, so that we can have that end-to-end integrated processes in the department. Then I will dive into the scope of what was contracted for Deloitte. For the billing and accounting, which was implemented between 2014 and 15, which went live with accounts payable, accounts receivable, and financial modules. And then variable payments was implemented between 2015 to 2016, but this module was not live and due to the immovable asset register data issues at the time. So it was then held back and not went live. And then the list-in module, this module was completed by Deloitte. However, finance didn't go live because of the cost adjustment functionality that was requested and which was not part of the contract. And then the list-out module, which was between 2015 and 2018, only the business requirements were completed by the service provider. And due to the issues that were raised with the contract, they didn't conclude the configuration and implementation of this module. And then bank reconciliation, this module is live since August 2014, but additional requirements were requested to be implemented by business. And then training, it was conducted with the champions in the business and when those modules went live. And then support and maintenance, they did support the system during the contract term or period. Then when the contract of Deloitte ended, the department then went out on tender and appointed ACTEC service provider, which was mainly for maintenance and support and also to complete the procurement module and the variables module. So in 2018-2019, the system was, the version of it was outdated. Then they were requested, the part of the scope was to upgrade the system to the latest version so that we kept in terms of cyber attacks and any other vulnerabilities, which they did and completed, and training was done. The procurement module, then they started with the functionality, functional requirement specifications, which were completed, and the scoping and prototyping, and then trained, but they couldn't complete the training in terms of this module. So this module is still not live today. And then also then do support and maintenance in terms of integrations that were required, systems enhancements, and also some of the journals and all other functionalities that were requested from the branch finance. Then in terms of Archibus, remember I said it came in through Deloitte. It was one of the softwares that they responded as part of the bid, and the main functionality there, because in terms of SAGE, you need to transact on the immovable asset register. It meant that they had to have a module. In the IT terms, we call it a container. So they'll have to put the data of the immovable asset register and perform those financial transactions on it. So that's how Archibus came into the department. But as the scope was expanded with list in and list out and other requirements, then the department then had to engage KZN and then appointed LDM to then look at the additional scope. And what they were contracted for was to look at a full now implementation of the immovable asset register module and movable asset register, the capital budgeting and project management, integrations to other systems, whether internally or external to the department, condition assessment module or capabilities that were required, and also the building operations in terms of the facility management and also the on-demand work and call center or CRM system, if I can mention it like that. If with the immovable asset register, they did came in and confirm the user requirements and functional requirements, and also they did the data, but they couldn't complete on this module. The movable asset management, the same thing. Also, this module was then rolled back. They configured and trained the people, and when they were supposed to go live, then it was rolled back because of the alignment between the immovable asset and also the movable asset register. The capital projecting module, this one, they only concluded their business requirements, and which was signed in 2016. And then the integrations were completed, mainly the one between Archibus and Sage, and that was completed at a database-to-database level to allow the transactions in terms of the functionalities that were required from finance and also from the REMS colleagues. And then condition assessment, this one we were not ready from the department point of view, so they couldn't collect the requirements to implement. And then the build operations and CRM module, this one, it was completed, there was user requirements, they configured it, and the module is live and it's been utilized currently. Then the LDM contract came to an end, and then the department went out on a tender again and appointed LCM for the same scope. If you look at it, there was movable asset register module, movable asset, and this one, because we had issues with the previous contract, but then the branches worked on cleaning up the immovable asset register. So it was successfully uploaded and a task team was required, was established between the RIAS colleagues and the ICT that did the whole data quality issues. And training was redone and the module then started to be active in 2019. The movable asset register, unfortunately, we didn't win with the data issues in terms of the alignment between the immovable and movable asset, and then we had to roll it back again. Then capital budget and project management, this one, it was not live, but there was work that was done. The users were trained, but then due to readiness from our side, also we had to roll back in terms of this one. And the integrations also, as I mentioned, as part of enhancements, there will be other integrations. This was done also. And this time we had to focus on our GIS for geospatial integration that we needed to do. And then condition assessment, this one is still not live. The user requirements, at least at this time, they were documented and it was signed off, but then the service provider couldn't continue to implement. Build operations, FM and demand management, this one, it was live. It was more on enhancements and adding, there was also other issues in terms of the immovable asset register that had to be corrected. But this module is used by our call center capability to log facility management calls on a day-to-day work. And also the preventative maintenance, this one we didn't have a business owner at the time, and at least we did get to define the requirements going forward with the service provider. Lease-in module, the lease-in cost functionality was signed off for the business, and it went live, it was configured, the users were trained, and it went live in September 2019. Lease out, the requirements are documented, but then also due to the branches or the business being involved and also inadequate availability of business processes, this became an issue also. But then the department at the time had a project that was defining the infrastructure delivery management processes at the time, so that also it coincided with this contract time. So, but then the service provider couldn't conclude on the lease out module. The mobile framework, so that the system can be accessed in any platform anywhere, it was configured, completed, but then we couldn't roll out this one because the department requested an intensive customization of this mobile application, which also affected the design of the database. With those service providers that were contracted for Archibus, we only managed to get 3 modules out of 8 modules that were supposed to be implemented. So we only have the lease in module, and we have the unscheduled with the call center capability active and the immovable asset management module being active. In terms of the cost for Sage, which is Deloitte and Arctech, those were the costs that we have incurred in terms of what was contracted and what we have paid, and also for the two service providers for Archibus, those are the two costs that we have incurred. With the journey from 2015 to 2021, because if you look at the presentations, the contract ended in 2021. Most of them, all of them, I think the last on stage was Arctech, and also the one for Archibus was LCM. So there were issues and lessons learned and possible risks that the department had to reflect as part of going forward. One of it was that we had a huge concern raised either from the user community, executive management, in terms of the system, its usability, poor performance of the system, and any other issues in terms of change management. So in terms of mitigating that, we had to look at formulating a business case and also appointing a project sponsor and then developing accountability, not developing, devolving the implementation to the branches so that we have an executive involvement, and also in terms of monitoring to be monitored at EXCO and also at the audit committee. And also most of the issues why the other 5 modules were not completed was due to project governance, project management governance. And this one, EXCO then established an ICT committee to oversee and ownership and making decisions for the stakeholders to in order to make sure that the project is within scope, within budget and time going forward. And unavailability of the approved business processes, I think you would have seen that most of the modules we had to roll back because the either it was data issues or business process issues, and that because the department at the time didn't have business processes documented. So as part of mitigating on this one, then the department initiated a process re-engineering project, which is for IDMS projects in terms of infrastructure delivery. So that also will assist going forward because now we will have documented business processes and SOP, and the value chain integrations that are required will be then be easier defined and configured in the system. And poor data quality, we were not ready from a data perspective as most of the immovable asset register was not of quality completeness and accuracy. I think it was one of the issues that has been raised. And from that perspective also, we have started and we are in the process of cleaning up the data, especially the immovable asset register, because it's the core of how the other modules must or the other capabilities required must transact on that data. And there's a data task team that is formed by the RAIS, RIAS, and REMS, and FM, and capital projects looking at this data on a day-to-day basis. So we are making improvement in terms of that. Insufficient change management. So there is, because I mentioned that the system had issues, performance issues, that also, it was one area that it was not properly communicated, and the user community was not trained, so there was no proper change management. And going forward then, as part of the ERP program implementation, we'll have to establish a change management committee that will drive change management as part of, as we're making changes in the organization from a process perspective. Cost overrun, I think I have in the previous ones, I did highlight that there were scope expansions and some of the scope also not being adequately defined and all that. So I think this one also as part of mitigating will have to put in project management, project managers, project sponsors, and also the governance structures that will monitor and ensure that the project is monitored, tracked, and if there's any deviations so that we minimize the cost overruns. Where we are now, because of all these lessons learned and risks and issues that have been identified, then the department has taken a position to then conduct an independent assessment on the whole ICT systems so that we then check what we have, whether existing or what we have planned as part of the architecture of this ERP, whether it's still relevant and fit for the operations and objectives of the department. And we have then approached and engaged CETA to say, as an independent agency, agency for the government, can you come in and relook so that we then restructure where we have to restructure, where we have gaps, and also we address those. So we are starting an assessment with them, and they will provide recommendations in terms of what systems are we going forward and which ones must we enhance or integrate. And if also there's any other systems in the market that will also drive this ERP objectives that we require. From a project assurance perspective, because I think I have mentioned that there's been poor project governance, we have also internally with internal audits, we request them to do a whole review from 2015 of what was done so that we can identify if there's any possible irregularities that then as going forward we need to take cognizance of and put mitigation plans in relation to that. And from a project governance perspective, EXCO has then established an ICT steering committee for continuous monitoring and going forward from that perspective. So that's where we are, and we request that the portfolio committee note the historical information, the status, and the next planned actions. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Any
additions? Thank you, Chair. I think that's the presentation, Chair. Maybe just to highlight, Chair, our posture so that I think it's very clear. Sometimes, Chair, there's a reason why you go to a garage and buy a car. But here it looks like somebody decided to buy a car, start with buying tires separately. You went to buy the engine, and the buy now the body, and then use different people to put it together. So nobody's going to take the responsibility for the whole car. So I think what is critical for us here, Chair, is to be able to do our work as the biggest landlord in the country. We believe also that when you look at this system particularly, there was an issue where it was a by-the-way system. We got a system, and then Deloitte said, look, we do have something to help you on infrastructure. Then that's when you've got Archibus. So basically, while we always have a business case for any system that comes into the play, I think, Chair, what is becoming critical and important for us to do our work, there are challenges where you approach things in piecemeal forms because nobody takes the full responsibility. So I think that it will be important as the committee engages to advise and maybe assist us to get a better direction. But I just want to indicate that already, we have already engaged the State Information Technology Agency to look at looking at this thing for us and to make sure that whatever decision we may have made is going to assist us to make a proper decision in the future. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Bridget. Just before I invite other members on this issue to comment, I just want to ask, because I want director's thoughts. Does the department have an ICT DDG?
Not yet, Chair. We've got a chief director. This not
okay,
this media. Thank you.
2011.
Yes.
She has been here since 2011.
No, she's new. She was not here since like 2011. She joined us, I think, 3 years ago. Yeah.
No, I just joined in that. But the position of Chief Director of ICT has been since then.
Were previous people before?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I now invite honourable members to comment, raise question on this elephant. honourable Sisola, sure.
Sure thing. Chair, thank you. If I do my calculation, first of all, congratulations, Mr. Mtagan, on your official appointment as the DG. We had spoken in the meeting that we held on the 10th of October about the instability in the department, particularly as it relates to the institutional knowledge that is needed in order to be able to drive the department towards the right direction. And I'm certainly glad that we have a permanent DG since 2019 within the department. So that is indeed a step in the right direction. Since this issue started, we've spent well over 101 million. Ne, if I'm correct. And you see, it's difficult to fathom this thing because you took the words out of my mouth when you used the analogy of the car. And one would then ask the question to say, but since 2019, this committee has been raising the very same issue in as far as this presentation is concerned. It's been raising the same issue. It's there. And my colleagues will be able to attest to that. In the same meeting, DG, that was held on the 10th of October last year, there was an indication here that there would be a new supplier that would be awarded 52.2 million to upgrade, enhance, complete, and integrate this particular ERP solution. Perhaps I need to get an indication from you as to where we are now in as far as that process is concerned, particularly as it relates to CETA. Because if we have lost DM well over 101 million, and we cannot point to where the South African taxpayers can say, we are happy the department has moved, they've been clear on this issue, we know that this money went to good use. What do we classify this as, in as far as that money is concerned, in as far as that particular program solution is concerned? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Fellow.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to keep quiet, but I think I need to say something, Chair. And it was prompted by the example that was used of different people buying different parts of the car. And now the question would be, is the car going to move? Because we are not sure whether the engine that has been bought will be suitable for the body, and the tires that have been bought, will they be able to carry the car itself, the body of the car. Now, the question that I want to put to the DG is, what confidence do you have that the system is going to work? Because at the present moment, if we can ask, because when you bring a system, it means that you've got data that you need to put in there. And from my knowledge, you're not even sure, the Department of Public Works is not even sure about their properties. How many properties do they have? They are not even sure. So is the system going to work? Taking into consideration different people at different parts of the car, is the car actually going to move from point A to point B? I don't have any confidence in the system myself, because we are not even sure which properties are belonging to the DPWI, which don't belong to the DPWI. It has been spoken about a private-public partnership to maintain certain buildings, and DPWI can't give sister departments a place to operate. Money is being spent on leasing and renting, and it's like we are moving in a directionless direction, if there is something like that in English. But what confidence do you have that the system is going to do what it's supposed to be doing? Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm very often lost for words. And I really understand, Chairperson, that we could find ourselves in this predicament. But we are trusting in the new broom. Welcome, DG. We are trusting in the new broom. Looking at point 13 in terms of the program expenditure, Chairperson, when we see the awarded amounts versus the total expenditures, it's almost exhausted. And we don't find the value for money. And it's so difficult to engage the subject matter and to give a direction or any proposals. Safe to say is that we really don't have trust, except the trust that we have in the new broom. So, Chairperson, when looking at the status and planned action plans, my question would be, if we look at the planned action plans, how many modules were implemented fully, and the returns that we can get on that versus the actual expected modules that needed to be implemented. And the planned action plans, do you have a costing in terms of that? Because we really can't even afford to pay a cent more. But money needs to be spent because we can't box this thing and pretend as if it's not there. There need to be some action. So really, Chairperson, I'm really lost for words. Let me rather pause there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Francis Calvi. You want to add something? Okay, just before I raise my own comment.
Hey. No, Chair, I'm excited that the new DG is here. And the DM will not accuse me of politicking or grandstanding. Because at least now, the issues that were raised also in the meeting of the 10th of October last year, I can perhaps also then highlight them so that the DG, in preparation of the 7th Parliament, when it comes to this portfolio committee again, we might not be here again. We might not be here. So he has to prepare himself. Yes, the department will get the legacy report from us as a committee. But DG, you see, for me it's important that we deal with what I addressed or what I refer to as low-hanging fruits within the department, particularly as it relates to this illegally occupied and abandoned DPWI buildings. When PMTE was here, we spoke about Circular 135, Chair, if you remember correctly. The then acting DG said to us, right, what this circular intends to do is to deal with buildings that are already on the table of the department, PMT in particular, that will be up for leasing. We got a list of those particular buildings. Upon checking some of these buildings, we find that they are in a derelict position or whatever the case may very well be. And there is no process that is in place. If you go to DM, if you visit the Public Works website now, I don't think that you find a portal that takes you to Circular 135, for example, or that takes you to buildings that are up for leasing by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Because I get it, we said we wanted to build this private-public partnership and so that these other buildings can be taken over by the private sector, they can do whatever, and a leasing of 100 years, or whatever the case may very well be. So now we're having a situation where none of those things that were presented by the department last year have happened. None of them have happened. We don't know what happened to Circular 135. We don't know what these buildings, or we know where the buildings are, because some of us, as part of our constituency duties, we are reporting these things, we are communicating to the relevant officials. So perhaps, DG, you might assist us in your stability within the department now to look into Circular 135 and perhaps look at an easier way in which South Africans can be able to follow which buildings are being made available by the Department of Public Works for leasing and which ones are out on tender and so forth and so on. And we've mentioned them here. We've submitted them. We've debated them. And nothing is happening. And that is a big problem. We've just learned now that one of the buildings that we're dealing with as a form of a petition, there are people who have been shot there in those buildings. And when the petitioners were here, they also reported that there are drugs there, there's prostitution there, and so forth and so on. And for years, people have been submitting a document to come and lease these buildings, these properties, and whatever the case may very well be. The other thing that is very fundamentally frustrating, DM, is that when you call the department, today you are dealing with Azol. When you call tomorrow, you are dealing with Aviwe. When you call the following day, it's whoever. We can't even get assisted as members of parliament, as members of this committee. We can't get assisted. So where is then the structure? Where is it that as a member of parliament, when I send you, DG, an email, where is the management of that particular communication to say, I have received your email, this is my response, give me a reference number. So that at least when I call the next time, there is a system in place that says, yeah, here's a reference number, DPWI 37820. It is on this issue. These are things that are problematic. And these are things that this committee has been reporting on for years now. And nothing is happening. And some of the colleagues are here that have been here since 2019. Can't know what is happening within the hierarchy. Do people not communicate? Do people not share information to say, you remember the committee said this? When we request information from the department, sometimes we need to follow up. Despite the fact that there is a written rule that once the committee has requested information from the department, it must be 7 days before the committee receives that information. Then you receive the information after 7 days. This particular department has left us, I remember with the Circular 135 DG, it took us months to get it. And sometimes when you want to work within the confines of the committee, no, you can't. You must go and release a press statement and talk about how the DG misled the committee, which in actual fact is true. We're talking now about telecom towers. We're talking millions. And yet of the total 9 of those particular, only one is working. After so many years, it's unacceptable. There are people here who are tasked with doing this work. They are tasked with doing this work, and every time you come and present to the committee, Kintetswana, Bekele Bek. Well, kill the chiefs. I mean, no, but it's true. Kill the chiefs is his behavior. Who knows this? No, I'm a Kaiser Chiefs fan, so I'm disappointed. No, but colleagues, it's important that we realize that we say that South Africa works because public works. I guess that's the motto or slogan. Or you see it here. But now we're losing millions. Millions that could be going towards other programs. We've cut the EPWP budget. how much do we know we could be getting from just leasing? I mean, we're the biggest, landlord, DG. But what is that title about when it is not doing anything for us as a country? So, thanks for indulging me, Chair, but I just perhaps wanted to just highlight those issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fikalo, and also thank you to all the honorable members that raised the question. When I asked whether to have an ICT to DG or Chief Director, as DG has indicated, I wanted to check whether is there anyone responsible for ICT in this department since 2011. Apparently, there have been goals. That's what I can say. There have been goals. We don't see the goals. We don't even know how the goals work. You have said it yourself, DDG. It's something that we have been saying, that this department has a potential to raise money. This department is the landlord of the majority of the government properties of this country. But this department, earlier on when I was welcoming you, I said that this day and age, we can't have a poor ICT. We can't. In fact, we are forced by the circumstances. If maybe this was 1994, we would understand. Even us that were born before technology. But it's unacceptable. What is that? That you're changing your story each day that you come. We have written to you, DM, and the department, DG, and indicated what we want. You have brought the information today, but not in the format that we want. And why is that? Just cause, you want us to be all over the place. Because you don't want to stick to what we wanted. We said, let me remind you what we wanted from you when it's there in the agenda. But ours was to check whether planned objectives were achieved, whether there may be in future material irregularities involved. Because we worried about the payments, and we all see that the payments have escalated. I think that's one issue. If we had such powers, would be to say to Otatadora, go and check there. And there's nothing that says in this report there had been at any particular time consequence management. There's nothing in this report that is saying that. If we may ask a simple question, DG, who, when you wanted a car, bought you tires, not a car? That's very simple. Who decided that when you want a car, you must buy tires? Tires are not car. Who did that? This report is saying nothing about that. It's just, if I may be very crude, fancy word. But we think that there is a report. When in fact there is no report. There's no report, Chief Director, on this.
you are saying here to us, out of the module implementation since 2015, out of how many? But only three that you are saying are live. The majority is not live. In terms of percentage, what is that percentage? Definitely not even 50%, not even 40%. But that has happened over all these years. There has been no consequence management. This one is going directly to CFO. Did you? Recently, there has been some issues about SAID being hacked. Was DPWI affected? Is there any investigation on that issue? That one is going straight to CFO. Because you have indicated to us what you were using SAGE for. And then this one, it's the one that you started with. If you can tell us, what is the ICT staff complement? Do we have a chief director with the body? Or there are people, and then we have been changing chief directors all these years? Because it seems as if there is no one in this directorate. It seems as if there is no one. Because nothing is happening, but this department is paying. Really, you said to us, you're going to look for a new, an estimated amount of 52 million. Today you are not even mentioning that. You are bringing CETA now, which you never mentioned before. This issue of CETA is new, did it? Maybe it came with you on the management meeting. You felt that, no, let's go this route. Okay? No, it's fine, but it's new to us. It's new to us. There was never a mention of CETA before. It's something very, very, very new. But lastly, why is this department paying for a system that was never completed? Why are we still paying for a car when we are getting tires? What else? Whatever. That is making a car. Why are we still paying? At what stage are we going to stop to pay for a system that was never completed? Thank you so much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think thank you for your questions. Maybe Chairperson, the other one raised by Honorable Saitlolo. I don't know if I'll answer that, but I took note of those. But maybe to deal with the questions related to our presentation, Chair, maybe to answer. when something is not doing what you actually wanted to do, and you continue to pay, it becomes a challenge, Chairperson. I think we are aware that there was a tender that was given out to actually deal with completing a number of these that were outstanding. Out of what we have, about nine, only three are working. So which means, like you said, Chairperson, over 50% is not working, or maybe it's not alive, let me put it that way. I think it's a management duty to ensure that if there's something that you don't really understand and see and appreciate, because 52 million, again, I want to borrow what Honorable Saitlolo said, it's public money that you are dealing with. Where are you taking that money to? is it going to change the situation, or is it just going to remind that we're going to pay to still stay in the same position? So we didn't want to guess that. We didn't want to theorize it. So in terms of our approach then, Chair, we said, look, while that process has been done and we have not appointed a service provider per se, the best way for us to do at this point, because we cannot, Chair, continue not knowing what we are doing in terms of our getting a system that is fit for purpose, you know. So we then decided, Chair, as executive management, to say, let's get an expert of government, which is CITA, to assist us in terms of checking these things vis-a-vis our requirements in terms of the entire value chain of public works, not piecemeals, right? So we then had to want to get this thing done, Chair, which already has been done. We've actually already appointed CITA, who's going to give us a report. And that report, Chair, will assist us to apply, as you say, our minds in respect of a proper advice, because CITA is actually responsible for making sure that the state is safe in terms of these ICT-related matters. Maybe the issue of the matters raised by Honorable Suisa, I do appreciate what she's saying, that there's no confidence in the system, the way she's putting it. Look, I want to indicate this, Chair. A lot of work regarding the system was based on a particular work that had to be done, which is actually called the asset register. Now, your asset register becomes the key player when you are developing any ERP system. Without the asset register, you are doomed to fail. So I think part of the biggest issue or challenge was to really finalize that particular aspect, Chair, which I think is a primary thing that you need to do before you could actually do anything. So I believe that to avoid us to be directionless, we want to have a direction, as Honorable Suisa has indicated. We want to have a direction. We also want to make sure that with CITA, we'll be able then to find a way going forward. In respect of the consequence management that was raised, as to who said we must buy a tire, and the other one said you must buy an engine, and the other one said wait, we'll buy the body later. Chair, most of the people who would have been here, some of them have left, others have died. So, which means it leaves us who are alive now, which is myself and my team here, to take the responsibility of what has been done in the department and actually take the right path forward that will take us forward as a country. So I think our DDG Corporate Services is here. To the extent that it is, I believe that some of the work that CITA will do will unearth some of those issues that we might have not seen because we are not probably specialized in understanding what, for example, would have gone wrong with Deloitte, what could have gone wrong with LDM, etc., etc. So they will give us that direction with a proper report. And then the issue of SAGE, Chair, I think that will actually leave the CFO, as you have indicated, Chair, to give us the response on that. And then the issue of the structure of ICT, Chair, yes, we do have the Chief Director here under DDG Corporate Services. They will actually share the number in terms of the people that we have. Maybe last one, Chair, for my side, why is the department paying for something that is not working? Chair, let me indicate this. We have stopped everything until we understand that what are we paying for is actually value for money. So we even stopped this tender to be awarded, Chair. I know it's painful, but we wanted to make sure that that which we pay for is something that we can obviously account to, notwithstanding the fact that already over 100 million has been spent, which actually, in my view, there was some work that was done in terms of development, in terms of some of those modules. There are areas, but I think we want to get the real number in terms of making sure that those issues are addressed. Chair, maybe if you'll allow me, those issues that I've said raised by Honorable Seitlolo around the other matters, I don't know if I have to just highly make a comment or just leave it like that for the next administration. I think that was his direction, if that is allowed. And then I'll then maybe, Chair, through you, allow the CFO to maybe brief on the question around the SAGE and also maybe allow the Chief Director, ICT stroke, the DDG Corporate Services to deal with the issues of the structure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dichi. Good day, Honorable Chairperson and members and DM. Yes, indeed, SAGE was heard. I think Chief Director, CIO can respond better because there were also engagement that we had with her to say how come that it was hacked, what control measures are in place to prevent hacking of the system. But in terms of investigation, Honorable Chair, it is being investigated by Hawks. You know the process of SAPS can take a number of years. We are not getting any feedback at this stage. Thank you, Chair. But the CIO can add in terms of control measures to minimize any future hacking of the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The issue or the incident of hacking with the preliminary investigation that we did from ICT, it was done from internally using internal accounts. That also, that was what we have established, but as the CFO has indicated, we didn't do further investigation on it because it then went to the law enforcement agencies. So what we have done from our side in terms of the putting controls in place, because it's our internal officials or accounts that we manage, we have strengthened the network security either from externally, and also we have revised in terms of the security policies that we put on the systems, and we have then instituted also a 24/7 kind of monitoring capability so that we are very reactive when it comes to cyber attacks. So that's what we have put in, and also we are then investigating also in terms of strengthening the application or the SAGE system itself. We're looking into putting more access control from a biometric perspective or multi-factor, if I can put it like that. It could be biometric, it could be one pin for the SAGE users and also Akibas users. But for the past year, we've been focusing from an external perspective in terms of putting firewalls, in putting off updating the systems and making sure that we monitor them and we respond and we put teams that are on 24/7 alert so that we are able to then respond if there's any cyber attack from external. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, good day, Chairperson and the honorable members, DM. I'll respond on the issue of the structure. Since 2012, when the ERP system started, we had a gentleman who was seconded from his private company to the department since 2012 until 2017. His contract came to an end, the secondment contract came to an end. Then we appointed a chief director who was there for only 18 months and he resigned. Then we had the directors within ICQ who was acting from 2020 until 22. Then we appointed the CIO to be part of the department. So the two chief directors, meaning the one who was seconded from this company and also the one who resigned, they're no longer in the department as I indicated, but the two directors who were there, they were there since 2012 or beyond 2012, but they're still within the department. So that's the highest the senior management within ICT. Thank you.
DDG of Corporate Services didn't capture well my question, because I wanted the staff component. When are you just focusing on the DDG
CG or the chief director, or, is there a staff component? Because I was asking, is she working alone, or there are people that are there?
There are people that are there. The chairperson, we've got her, the two directors, and one position is going to be filled now. And we've got deputy directors that are... Yeah, she'll get the number now, how many are there? But all in all, there are 64, together with all the technicians and everyone.
We have a staff component of 64 in ICT. With chief director, two directors, some assistant directors, and we are where we are. Okay? It's not there, but are you part of?
If you hired for no reason,
I'm sure you
said you had human beings.
I'm sure it's part of that team. Honourable members, do you have follow-up questions? The reality, and your team, this is not looking good on the department. That is the reality. This is not looking good on the department. It can't be all these years you have failed this. I don't want to talk about the second measure and all that. Also raises its own questions, if we may dig deep, but today we don't have certain time. But the reality is that this is not looking good. The money that has been spent on this, and the reality is that the system was never completed. The system is not working, that is, not all the modules are live. It's not reflecting good on you as a department. And even on the decisions that have been taken by the executive of the department on this matter. There are so many successful stories that are out there when it comes to ICT. ICT is being advancing each day, but other than advancing, you are stuck with an uncompleted project. It doesn't look good at all. And as such, we're going to say that in our legacy report. DM, I will give you to round up.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think, Honorable Chair, we must also reach a stage where when departments appear before the portfolio committees, we start understanding that the portfolio committee is there to do oversight, which assists us. Now, I'm going to say this, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, because in a few weeks, you are going to be consolidating your final legacy report as this committee. Now, where I'm seated at, I don't believe we have got an ICT system at Public Works. And I'm saying this because ever since we arrived, the minister and myself, I've been singing like a parrot to say that this system is not working, because you can't say you haven't got an ICT system on such a big department where from 2015 to date, the system is not integrated. Now, everything we do in the department comes to zero if we do not have an integrated ICT system. To the extent that if to date we are still doing our financials manually from the 11 regions to head office and then it goes to the AG, That is what really gives me sleepless nights, Chair. I have spoken to the DG to say, even though they have requested the CETA, who I was made to believe started yesterday. I want to be correct. Did they start yesterday? The CETA story, because we come from a Mintop yesterday, I was told that CETA only started what they've requested CETA to do yesterday. Now, I'm saying this in front of the committee because it's what I've been saying all the time, that you have got bakeries that only bake bread. They don't sell muffins, red velvet cake, and scones. Now, I am saying that the department must go and look for ICT service providers, five of them, to come and present and look at what Public Works do and give us a solution that is integrated. Now, when you do that, Chair, you are able to physically go to where they are currently working to go and see a live system in real time, that you will then see that will such a system be comparable to what we want to achieve at Public Works. Now, this tender that has been put on hold, when we appeared here last year around ICT, I also said it, Chair, that that tender, I questioned it a lot to the acting DG, that you are going out on tender for what? To achieve what? Because we do not have what we want in terms of what we want to achieve and the magnitude of this department. So where I'm seated at, this CETA thing that has only started yesterday is still not giving me comfort. I am still saying that the department must get 5 or 10 or 20 service providers to come and present and show where they have done integrated systems. You get a team led by the DG to go and see live systems. Because where I'm seated at, Chair, the magnitude of construction that we do, we should be able to have an app that allows you, even when you are out of the country, to check a project in Mpumalanga, in Northwest, in whatever, in real time. If you were to monitor us in this committee and we tell you we've got a high court in there in the deep rural areas, you are supposed to, as the committee, be able to go onto the app, see what we are saying while you are seated here. That is the type of system you need at Public Works because of the magnitude of the work that is being done. If you are querying a building, Honorable Sikol, you are supposed to click yes. While we are sitting here, the DG is supposed to say, I've now gone live, Honorable Members, this is the building you are querying, this is what we are saying. That is what we need, because if you've got 88,000 buildings and we are the landlord of government, and we've got this system that only has got 3 modules since 2015, we are always going to have you writing petitions, Mr. Sitola, and we are always going to find ourselves wanting to cause. I'm always arguing that nobody must tell me that we've got a conclusive asset register. We must say that. Now, I'm happy, Honorable Chairperson, that we now have a permanent PMTE DDG, the head of PMTE. He's here, sitting here next to me. At least we don't have an acting PMTE head, because once you have an acting PMTE head, everything falls apart because of the number of branches that filter. You've got total facilities management, you've got REMS, you've got RAID, they all feed into PMTE. And I think that up to now, since Mr. Sibanda has started as the head of PMTE, the turnaround strategies that he has given us and everything else, I think that when he presents at a stage to the committee in terms of what he has even done around in the short space of time, what will give us a clearer idea in terms of leases and in terms of the properties that we have and the turnaround strategy, which includes the ROT and the BOT in coupled with it. And I think that it is one of the things that will even solve or give you an idea how we solve the big elephant, as you call it, Chair, which is the Telkom Towers. Because I think Telkom Towers, ourselves as the minister and myself having arrived there, the minister having gone there physically on site and all these things here, was an animal where tomorrow there's this person saying they are doing plumbing. And you know the English of west wing, south wing, there at the towers. I once told one of the officials that this thing of the Telkom towers, one day when somebody talks, they say no DM, the west wing, then no the south wing and the left wing and the what now. I think that the ROT and BOT program and the Telkom towers being one of the buildings that is going to be fixed through that method is going to assist that, but that does not fix the monies that have been spent, even on ICT. It does not fix that, but I think that once we get an integrated system, it will assist us very much. And thank you to all the honorable members for their comments and their guidance always, because I know today that all of you, when you said you were not going to talk, is because you all have spoken on this at length last year when we had the physical portfolio committee, which was on ICT. And I think that even before the minister and myself arrived, since 2019, you have been talking about this issue. But I think, honorable members, that for me, I'm still not comfortable with the CETA thing, but I would be comfortable with us being able to say to the committee, this is what we went shopping for, and this is what these people have done here. So we can even invite the committee to go and see integrated systems that they are doing somewhere else that they are working, because there are those things and it's happening every day and it works. Thank you very much, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members.
And with those closing words, DG, DGs here, Chief Directors, CFO, and also for being honest with us. Sometimes it takes a lot to being honest on some of the issues that we raised here. DM, we must also appreciate the fact that since your time as the new executive, you have tried to fill some of the major positions that were vacant in the department. We must appreciate that, because I think it has been a long time that we have had people acting, but now we have a DG, a new one, of course, and we have people that are also have been appointed in other senior positions. It shows that you committed to the department, you want to change the department. We wish you the management of the department all the best, and we would appreciate that you take serious everything that you are raising here. We are not raising these issues maliciously. We are raising these issues to see this department functioning optimally, also functioning well. This is one of the departments, out of all the departments, that has a potential to generate serious revenue. But with all these things that are being done, rather than generating revenue, you're losing money in all these things that are done. So if you can take some of the recommendations that we're making to you, and don't treat coming to the portfolio committee as if you are here just to give us that information in any order that you want to. No, that we won't. On the matter that GM, you said earlier on, apologizing, those that were watching that meeting yesterday, we said serious words about the president of EXA, who sent us an apology at 9:02 when we were about to start the meeting. That statement, it reflected
what we felt as the committee of being undermined by an executive also who would not accept that in her own meeting. So though we have postponed that meeting to the 27th, as much as we'll be dealing, we'll start with that issue. So I hope that you will be part of the meeting, PM and your team, because really we felt undermined, we felt disrespected by that president of ECSA in that particular meeting. But on this one, next week we're dealing with PMTE. I hope that Mr. Spande is ready for that. We hope that he is ready. I think really 2 days we will be dealing with that. There are many issues there in that directorate, but we hope that the unfortunate part is that whatever that you say today, you don't have a chance to correct it in another meeting. It goes as it is in the legacy report. I don't think there is anyone here who would like the legacy report to reflect badly on his or her directorate. Thank you again, honorable members, for participating and deliberating constructively in this meeting of today. When we're dealing with Auditor General and when we are dealing with the department, I know that we requested that meeting to be physical. Some members could not be in, but the next meeting it's virtual, honorable members, and I hope that everyone will be part of the meeting. We'll set this DM, we'll set it to Kumar. We are aware that not every Wednesday is a cabinet meeting. So we really would like Kumalo and yourself to talk to the minister. If the cabinet meeting is virtual, the minister must join both meetings. Come to the meeting, maybe do opening remarks, and then leave the meeting. But the minister must be part of the meeting. On those words, thank you again. The meeting is adjourned. Oh, no. We have another... Yeah, we have other items in our meeting. No, you may be released, DM and your team, but we can continue. We have to deal with minutes, right? Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, DJ. Thank
We know how we need to fit.
I believe in that.
You manage to amend your motion.
Just my name. Gmail. Sorry, my handwriting is not the best. So it's mohmhirsch@gmail.com.
mhirsch.
Yeah.
08, ne?
Yeah. mhirsch. H-I-R-S-C-H, yeah.
M-I-R-S-C-H.
Yeah, that's just my surname, yeah. mhirsch@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. Matthew Hirsch.
Matthew Hirsch, yeah. So I'm a freelancer, but I do a lot of work for Ground Up, yeah.
Ground Up.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. You're going to be putting all...
I said that the